I have Mr. Dingle here with me now if you'd like to talk to him.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
All right. Hold on just a moment. I'll put him on the phone.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Hello, Nicole.
Hi, Congressman Dingell. Thank you so much for talking with me today.
Oh, I'm glad to do it. Stop worrying.
Well, I'm sitting actually just as you called. I've been on the energycommerce.house.gov website reading the different fact sheets that you guys have up for this new health care bill. Now, I'm glad you do this because it's the bill runs over 1,000 pages, so it's hard to digest.
It's almost impossible.
Yes, so you have the entire text of the bill up on the website along with the summary, and I will post the link to all those from my blog at radioornot.com and the show page at airamerica.com as well. But can you tell me the things that you're happiest about with the bill as it stands today?
I think the most important thing about this bill is that we are finally addressing one of the great humanitarian problems that this country confronts and one of the terrifying economic difficulties that we have. 46 million Americans have no health care, and at different times during the year, about as many as 86 million will be without health care. The cost of health care is breaking American business and industry. It's going up at about twice the rate of every other country in the world, and it costs now about twice as much as is paid by any other country in the world. The prospects for improvement in this situation are bleak because people are losing health care every day. The number of them without health care is growing every day. The end result will be that calamitous costs are going to cause us to lose jobs, industry, and opportunity in this country. And the probabilities are that if things go on as they are now, the two curves, healthcare costs and the gross domestic product, will cross somewhere around 2080, a situation which means that we'll spend every nickel that we have in this country on healthcare.
Right. And so I'm glad to see that Congress is finally, well, or the Democratic administration is finally saying, look, we need to fix this system because we hear here in the media horror story after horror story. And all you have to do is talk to the next person in line at any venue, and they will have a healthcare horror story to tell you. I mean, I've got one. I'm on COBRA now because I'm now effectively a freelancer. And come next, I guess, November, when COBRA runs out, I likely will not be able to get health insurance because of a pre-existing condition.
You share a problem with millions of Americans.
I know. So how will this bill fix that?
Well, this bill does a number of things. First of all, it requires community rating. Second of all, it prohibits insurance companies from denying insurance to persons because of pre-existing conditions. It prohibits them from engaging in what is called rescission, where they wait till you need the health insurance and then they cancel your policy for some reason. It will assure you that you will have an opportunity to get insurance when you have need of it. And this is perhaps one of the great improvements because, as I've said, there are millions of people just like you who confront this terrifying story.
Right. Congressman John Dingell is with us from Michigan. I have long said, and I truly believe, that the for-profit system of health insurance that we have right now is basically government-sanctioned extortion. I know I've got to keep paying, and I can't have a gap in my health coverage, or the way it stands now, I will not be able to get insurance again. I know that your bill has the public option in it, but we're hearing a lot of noise that this maybe can be negotiated away. I know the Republicans don't want it. Are you guys committed to keeping the public option in this plan?
Well, there are 435 members in the House and 100 in the Senate, and each of them have their own views on this matter. I am of the view, and many of my colleagues in both bodies are of the view, first of all, we ought to have a single-payer system.
Yes.
But if we can't get a single-payer system, what I want is something which is almost as good, and that is a guarantee of choice to the American people, but one of which choices would be the opportunity to have a government option. Now, why a government option and why is it important? First of all, your comments about the private insurance companies, they make their money now, not by competition and by providing good service. They make their money by risk avoidance, one of which ways is to say, well, if you have a pre-existing condition, we're not going to let you in. And by rescission, where they cancel your policy where you need it, or by seeing to it that they don't take classes of people who are perhaps old or infirm or of limited income. And there are horror stories galore on this matter. One of the things which we have found is it's impossible to control insurance prices and insurance services. States say they regulate, but don't believe it. They do not. The only thing the state can really regulate is the solvency of the insurance company. And they really don't do a very good job of that, because the solvency regulation is to see to it that the money is there to pay the obligations of the insurance company when they come due. So to get the insurance companies to behave properly, we have to give them some honest competition, because we can't give them regulation. And so this is the reason that we go to a government plan, because a government plan will be one which is run by the people, who can see to it that they're looked after and taken care of in a proper fashion, and that proper competition and proper opportunity for insurance coverage of a proper character are available to all of our people.
Great. Now, I know that the Senate this week is also coming out with their plan. Do you know how it differs from the House plan?
Oh, is that's going to be a fluid set of changes. First of all, I don't know. Second of all, they haven't completed. And third of all, as the process goes forward, there will be continuing differences between the two bills. So you should anticipate that when the bills are concluded, that the conclusion will be brought about in a legislative body called the Conference Committee, in which the House and the Senate meet to resolve the difference between the two pronouncements, the Senate's bill and the House bill.
Right. So it is a long, drawn-out process. I know the president really wants this done by August. Do you think there's any chance that'll happen?
Well, now, wait. First, it is to complete the enactment of the legislation in the House and Senate.
Right.
By August.
Mm-hmm.
But that leaves us then a significant amount of time to resolve the differences between the House and the Senate bill in the conference, which will take place when we come back after the August recess. And the end result will be that hopefully we'll have a bill which will be completed before next year, which is an election year. Uh-huh. And election years are notoriously bad years in which to write legislation of this kind.
That's true. But I believe this is, the number one issue facing us today, because we've got Americans who are either dying because they don't get the health care they need, or they're going broke trying to get the health care they need.
Well, it's worse than that. Health care in the United States costs about double what it does in any other industrialized country in the world. Every other industrialized country in the world has a national health care program. And the end result of that is that in those other countries, they are able to outcompete us. Now, why? If you look at an automobile and you say, what a fine bunch of American steel going down the road that is. There's $750 worth of steel going down the road in that American automobile, but there's $1,600 worth of health care driving down the road in that automobile. Every one of our competitors around the world has the advantage of their state program, which means that our competitors, not only in autos, but in everything else, do not have to confront the problem of paying for health care for their employees and for paying for health care for their retirees. So this is a serious problem. When my dad started out with the first bill introduced, the Dingell-Murray-Wagner bill, in 1943 for Harry Truman, it was a humanitarian concern. People were dying for want of health care. That was terrible then. That problem still exists, and people are not getting the health care they need at a time when the life could be saved. And so something has to be done about this. But the economic consequences of our inability to compete because of lack of a national health care program in this country is now an equally great problem. So we have a humanitarian concern of the most desperate character and an equally serious matter of concern for our people because of the other problem. So you have economics and health, both of which are desperate problems to our people.
You said it beautifully. Thank you so much. Congressman John Dingell, I've got one more question for you, and this was sent to me by a listener. And he said, the next time you speak with a senator or a congressman, please ask them this question. It comes from David Fleischman from Memphis. He says, can you justify why, even if elected for one term, you receive high-quality health care for the rest of your life? And he goes on, he says, please don't insult us by saying these perks are needed to assure we have the best people in Congress. If that bunch is the best we can do, things are worse than I thought.
Well, first of all, I don't justify it. I commend David for his comments. The simple fact of the matter is that the humanitarian concern of this is so powerful that it has to be addressed. I introduced the first bill on this in 1956. It was my dad's bill. It's a single-payer bill of very broad character. My dad introduced the first one for Harry Truman, and the only significant changes that are in the bill that my dad first introduced are to remove portions of it, which we have been able to enact over the years that I've served in the Congress. And that, so it has gone from something in excess of 100 pages to something like 50 pages. But we've got more to do. And the comment is right. Members of Congress should not do better than their people do. It should be noted, however, that the Congress has changed it so that members on retirement, new members, no longer get the health care. But a member of Congress gets no advantage that is not available to a federal employee in terms of his retirement benefit.
Okay. I appreciate that answer. You know, you brought up single payer a number of times, and I believe in, I think that's what we really need. And we're told
it
that
is, it is indeed.
Is there any way we can get to that? Because I,
no. Well, no at this time.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that single payer is the only real solution to the problem. But the harsh fact of the matter is that the votes are not there at this time. The president recognizes this. The president has suggested a different set of principles. And quite frankly, we're going to have the devil's own time getting a decent package through and including in that a program of public option.
Could it be that the reason we can't get a single-payer plan through is because the biggest contributor to most election campaigns is the healthcare industry, that maybe with real campaign finance reform, if we could get the money out of politics, maybe then we'd have a chance?
Everybody says that, but it's always willing to accuse the Congress of being up for sale. And I've got to say, there are real problems with campaign finance. But I don't believe that the health industry is the biggest campaign contributor. And remember that the health industry is in many parts. A lot of those different parts are opposed to health care. A lot of them are in favor of health care. But the hospital folks just cut a deal with the White House for a substantial give back and said that a bill which contained that would have the support of that industry. The insurance companies have said that they will support a bill which does certain things. Now, I'm not sure their support will extend to a package that I can support. But there are huge alliances of people on all sides of this issue that contribute very large sums of money to senatorial, congressional, and presidential campaigns. And the thing I like to say is that it's my judgment that a lot of times what happens is the pressure is such that the people are in the Congress or in the elective office are simply held upright and immobilized. Now, if you want to address this question, you should observe that for years I've been fighting on this, and the situation has finally begun to change. Not only do we have a Congress and a president that favor this, but the American people now understand that we have to have this kind of a program. And American industry is beginning to understand that they doggone well have got to have it if they're going to stay competitive. And that even includes folks in formerly hostile industries. For example, the medical profession now is veering towards what we're talking about, although we haven't got them all the way. Pharmaceutical folks are saying, well, they'll support this kind of bill if it has certain things in it. I'm not sure that I could go as far as the insurance industry or the pharmaceutical industry wants gone, and I think we have to go much further. But don't be prepared to believe the worst. It's just that the people who really want this, who really need this, and really deserve this, are not sufficiently active. They have not helped and gotten out and done the things that they should, so that we who want this in the legislative branches of government have not been able to move it up till now.
So are you saying that people aren't calling their representatives enough or writing letters or taking to the streets as they should?
I'm hearing from it, but I'm hearing almost as much from the opponents as I am from the proponents.
Wow.
And in other congressional districts, the situation is worse than it is in mine. And in a lot of congressional districts, ordinary people who would be beneficiaries of this kind of program are coming out against the bill because, A, they're not informed, and, B, they're not organized, and, C, the folks that want this are not doing enough work down there.
Well, that's really interesting. I know, I mean, on the right, they're bringing out all the scare tactics and saying, well, if a public plan goes through, health care is going to be rationed. You're not going to be able to get the services you need. And so who needs to get out there and debunk this?
Well, the harsh fact of the matter is that this debate at this time is surrounded by an outrageous collection of lies. They're saying, for example, you're going to lose choice of doctor, hospital, and insurance plan, a barefaced lie, or something which is bottomed on ignorance or worse. They're saying that it's going to cost you more. This is not true. And we have provided in there to help the people of limited income. They're saying that it's going to be rationed. That's a deliberate lie. Right now it's rationed. Why is it rationed? 46 million Americans have no health insurance. Why is it rationed? Those Americans have to wait until they can get insurance or know that they're going to lose their benefits, or they buy an insurance policy that doesn't provide them with the benefits that they need because they can't afford a decent program of health insurance. So I would say that when you hear some of these outrageous statements about what a bad bill this is, or any of your listeners do, they better take a careful look to see what kind of a rascal is telling them that, so as to scare them off something that's in the desperately needed area of public interest.
Terrific. Congressman John Dingell from Michigan, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today. I really appreciate it. I'm going to put links to all the PDFs that your committee has online that explains all the different aspects of the bill. And I know it'll go through some changes, but at least, you know, you got the public option in there. and you know, we're off to a good start. So
we're going to try and see that you have a good bill, and I personally will be trying to get it by November so that you have some protection.
Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed speaking with you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.